All right, you get one guess as to where we are turning. If you've been here the last few Wednesday nights. Yes, ma'am, in the back. Second is correct. It's the first, second in the Bible. Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 22. Second Samuel 22. So the Lord gave us a list here, so we're preaching through the list. And just taking one of these items each week. And if nothing else, as we go through the list here, you realize how good you got it if you know the Lord. Did you know you got it good? You got it better than anybody else in the world if you know the Lord. So this is God puts these reminders all over the Scriptures as to what you've got if you know Him. So hopefully tonight this will be another good reminder. The Lord is a whole bunch of different things when we get down to verse 3. Some of them in verse 2, actually, and then more in verse 3. So let's read about these things. Verse 1 again. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So this is David singing. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. And we've had all those. What's the next one? My high tower. Goes on to say, and my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. I have to read the next verse because it just goes right along with it. I will call on the Lord who is worthy. Isn't he worthy? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, power. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So tonight, the Lord is my high tower. So let me get your take on famous towers. When you think of towers, what tower or towers come to mind? Yes, ma'am. The Tower of Babel. We're going to go there in just a minute over in Genesis. Yes. The Tower of Babel, the first tower that we find out about in the Bible. How about another tower? In the Bible or modern day or in the past? Anybody? What is it again? Bock Tower here in the state of Florida. Wind Tower, where is that? Oh, the Twin Towers, yes. So interesting little fact. The Twin Towers went down in 2001. And I don't know the year. Hasn't been that long, but the Freedom Tower has replaced it. Do you know how tall the Freedom Tower is? 1,776 feet tall. 1776. They did it on purpose. That's a tall tower, by the way. It's the sixth largest tower in the world. Largest tower in our nation. The Freedom Tower. So how about another tower? The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Another famous tower. How about the Eiffel Tower? How about in Seattle? There's a real famous tower. The Space Needle. Well, I grew up part of my life in Dallas, and the arena, I don't know if it's still there. They used to have a place called Reunion Arena in downtown Dallas. Been there many times to see the Dallas Mavericks play when I was a kid. Right next to Reunion Arena was Reunion Tower, and it was one of those towers that was had a ball at the top, and they would do all kinds of fun things with the lights. There's a restaurant up there. You'd probably pay $50 for a hamburger if you went up there to eat. Just neat being able to go up there. But tower, we're fascinated with towers. One more that's a famous tower, the Sears Tower. Anybody know where that is? Chicago. When I was a kid, cable TV, when I was a kid, you had WGN out of Chicago and you had TBS, Turner Broadcast System. So you could watch the Chicago Cubs or the Atlanta Braves if you were a baseball fan like me. And I remember watching WGN, and it seemed like every so often a guy would dress up like Spider-Man and try to scale the side of the Sears Tower. That's happened every so many years for quite some time. I don't know what the thrill on that is, but I guess just to say you did it. So, towers. Why do you think there's such an obsession with towers amongst men? Why towers? Is there something about men wanting to go higher and higher? So, The tower that Miss Diana mentioned is the first tower I'd like to talk about. Go over to Genesis 11. This is the tower of desire. And this has to do with man's desires, the desires of man's heart. I'm going to give you 3 points. The first two towers, all three of them will be associated with a tower. The first 2 points will be associated with towers you don't want to have. First one is a tower of desire, and it's the wrong desire. And you'll see what's going on here. I tell you, this is quite the passage. I read this passage so many times over the years. Things jump out at me just about every time I read it that are unique. There's a lot of good stuff here. You know what you get out of this passage? You see the world's agenda. You know what the world's agenda is? Unity against God. Let's go as high as we can without God. They're not on God's side. They're trying to go up without God. Now, the only way to go up is to know the Lord. Amen? Because the Lord is the one that went down, defeated death, and went up. And you can't go as high as you need to go unless you have the Lord. Verse 1, Genesis 11. And the whole earth was of one language, of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Now, what do you know about Shinar? Anybody know anything about Shinar? Just happens to be the same place where another famous structure was. Over in the book of Daniel. Remember that image that Nebuchadnezzar set up? Same location. This place also is associated with a guy named Nimrod. Mighty hunter before the Lord. Not a good guy. So Shinar, very interesting place to study in history and in your Bible. Verse 3, it says, and they said one to another, go to. Now notice the terminology they use. Let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to. Watch the wording. Go to. Let us. Remember that. Go to. Let us. Build who? Us. This is for them. Build us a city and a tower. Let me stop for a minute. Big cities are known by their skyline. Aren't they? And what makes up a skyline? The towers, yeah. Sherry and I went up to the highest point in San Diego when we were there. It's a mountain. It was a fun little mountain to climb. It was a mile and a half up there, and it took quite a little time to get up there because you go round and around and around on the trail up there. And from the highest point, you could see Mexico, and then you could also look another direction and see downtown San Diego. And how did I know I was looking at downtown San Diego? There's a whole bunch of towers down there. So it's interesting. Cities and towers go hand in hand. All the way from the first tower here in Genesis 11. So verse 4. Let us build us a city and a tower. Now here's where they went wrong. Big time. Whose top may reach where? May reach unto heaven. And let us, there it is again, let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. A couple weeks ago I talked about the most dangerous religion in the world and the most popular religion in the world. It's humanism. It's me, 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 me. Who did they do this for? Who did they build the tower for? Look how great we are. Hey, things hadn't changed much. When men build towers today, it's a symbol of, look how great I am. Look what we did. Just so happens that some of the tallest towers in the world are associated with banks. You think that's a coincidence? Banks, money, not their money, your money. That's a whole other sermon. Anyway, watch out for the big towers that are associated with banks. Let's read verse 4, or verse 5, down there to verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Interesting little study in your Bible is study the imaginations of man in your Bible. What do you think they are? You think that's a good thing or a bad thing? Man's imaginations, and it's not good at all. So look at verse 7. Watch, every time I read this, verse 7, I think the Lord uses the words He uses on purpose, mocking them. Look what he says. Go to, that's what they said. Let us, that's what they said. Let us go down. Now, let me stop and ask you a good question here. Get you thinking. Who's talking in verse 7? The Lord is talking. If you use the word I, it's a singular. If you use the word us, that's a plural. It's more than one. The Lord's talking, but He says us. Give me an explanation of that. You all know this. That's who God is. That is God's identity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. 3 in 1. Okay, look what he says, verse 7. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. It's really kind of a comical scene if you think about how they suddenly could not communicate due to the language barrier, which made the work to cease. Verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city, so they didn't finish what they started. Verse 9, therefore is the name of it called what? Babel. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So I called this the Tower of Desire, because what was the desire of these people here? We're going to go to heaven? We're going to do this on our own? Or we're going to do it without God? And who shows up to squash their plans? The Lord Himself. So it's a good thing to want to go up if your desire is to get to know the Lord better. Their problem was, we want to go up because look how great we are. The Lord is nowhere in the equation. The Lord shows up and stops the plans, and stops the building, all the construction. So there's the Tower of Desire that failed. But I start there to show you that that's the first tower mentioned in the Bible. And it's not a good tower, is it? The world unites without God, and it ends in quite a scene, a destruction, really. They didn't get it all finished and didn't finish the job. So there's the first one, the Tower of Desire. So go over to Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9. And I'll give you the second one here. The Tower of Desire. Let's go up, but we're going to leave the Lord out of the equation. That never works. And I'll just say that anytime you make plans to do something and you leave out the Lord, you will regret it sooner or later, won't you? You better make sure that you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then do that instead of saying, I'm going to do this. And then maybe down the road you include the Lord. Maybe you don't. Start off with God and then let Him direct your steps. Things will go a whole lot smoother for you, a whole lot better. So this is a very interesting chapter. I found that there are actually two separate towers in this chapter. So this is the first tower in this chapter is the Tower of Despair. So before I go on in this, do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing to be in a tower? Think about the towers all around the world that you could go to. If you are in a tower, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Depends. I got a good back here. Miss Linda seems to disagree. Yeah, it really depends. It could be good or bad. If you were stuck in a tower and you could not go down, I hate to bring something like this up, but this is just the reality of things. When 9/11 occurred and you had people in the top of those towers, you know what some of them chose to do since they could not get out? Yeah, jump out of the window. So in that case, a tower was not a good place to be. But a tower could be a safe place. In fact, I don't think that the Lord would have used a tower to describe Him being a place of refuge if it couldn't be a safe place. It is a safe place at certain times. Here's a tower that turned out not to be safe, and I call this the Tower of Despair. Go to Judges chapter 9. 45, you've got to go a little ways down here. Judges 9, go down to verse 45. Abimelech shows up here, actually shows up before this, but he's one of the judges. Is he a good guy or a bad guy? He was not a good guy. He was not a good judge. So here he is on a campaign, starting in verse 45. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city, and sowed it with salt. And when all the men of the Tower of Shechem heard that, They entered into an hold of the house of the god Bareth. And it was told to Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. Okay, so refuge is sought in a tower. Now, you notice the little thing there in verse 46. It appears that either the men, it could be just the men, and it could be the men and the tower are associated with who? Verse 46, at the end of verse 46. A false god, Bareth. Y'all see that? So either the men gathering together, there's some kind of association with this false god, or maybe it could be the tower itself, or a combination of the men and the tower. Regardless, in verse 47, the men go to the tower. They resort to the tower. And the reason why is they hear that Abimelech's coming, and they go to this place where they believe they will be safe. So let's find out about this tower. Look at verse 48. And Abimelech gat him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder and said unto the people that were with him, what ye have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. 49. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bough and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold. Now watch this. And set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. So what they did, these folks seek refuge in the tower, so they're up high. Problem is, there's fire down below. What happens? I didn't give you the details, but you assume the tower set on fire. In this case, different from what happened on 9/11, the tower starts on fire down below, and you assume it went up. They had nowhere to go. So that is a tower that you didn't want to be in at the time, even though it seemed like a safe place. It turned out to be an unsafe place. Here's what you learn from this. When men resort to a tower, it can become a very easy target. Isn't that what they did here? They made it really easy for Abimelech to take them all out in one shot, because they're all in the same place, and he takes care of the bottom. They're at the top, or they're somewhere off the ground, and they're in trouble. So in this case, the tower was a very dangerous place to be. But before we get to this next point, this will be a good transition. In the same chapter, there's another tower. Just the next verse here. Look at verse 50. It comes in 51, but you'll see it here in a second. Let's read 50 first. Verse 50. Then went Abimelech to Thebes and encamped against Thebes and took it. But what's there? There was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and got them up to the top of the tower. Okay, hold on, before I read, it sounds like we're going to have a repeat of what just happened previous verses. These people see him coming, hear him coming. They say, place of refuge is the tower, let's get up there. How do you think it's going to turn out? Good or bad? Let's find out. Verse 52. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it, and went hard under the door of the tower to burn it with fire. So he's got the same plan he had the first time. I'll burn this tower down just like I did the other one. Oh, these people will die. But there's a problem here. Verse 53. Look who the Lord uses. It's a great thing here. Verse 53. And a certain woman. God uses a woman in a great fashion here. And I just got to say, don't fall into this notion of thinking that God can only use men to carry out His work. What a bunch of nonsense that is. Amen? Biblical Christianity. Men are important. Guess who else is important? Women are important. Guess who else is important? Children are important. There's things that children can get done for the Lord that men and women, they would fall on their face trying to do. There's things that men can do that the others couldn't do. There's things that women couldn't do that the... God's in the business of using anybody who will say, Lord, use me, right? So I know that men, women, and children have different roles and functions. We've got to get that right, or else things become a mess. But God will use anybody that will be willing to be used by God. Amen? So look at verse 53. It's a woman, a certain woman. Look what she does here. Cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all two break his skull. So when you're in the tower, it could be safe, and then it might not be safe. But here's the advantage you have being in a tower. You have a better view of everything around you being up in a high place, don't you? Now, as I read this and I was thinking about all the details, you know, the Bible doesn't give you all the details, so you got to just kind of think about how things might have happened. So I'm just throwing this question out here, and none of us know the answer. Here's my question for all of us. This woman's in the top of a tower. Where did she get a piece of a millstone? Just bring that along for the ride when you go up in the tower? I don't know the answer to that. I'll just say this. Good thing she had a piece of a millstone. And it might have been one of those things where she's looking around wherever she is in the top of the tower saying, what can I throw down there to hit this guy? Because you know how this goes. If you throw something from a high position, even if it doesn't weigh a whole lot, if it's got a time to travel, it gathers some speed on the way down, doesn't it? And it can seriously hurt somebody. So this being a millstone, it was obviously something very hard. And obviously it got him in the right place. His head wounds are going to be a problem. And in this case, the tower turned out to be an advantage because this woman throws this millstone. So look what this fellow does in verse 54. We have to finish the story. Verse 54. Then he called. So the millstone didn't kill him. He called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him. Isn't that something? And his young man thrust him through, and he died. So what a statement to make there. This guy knows that he's about to die, but he doesn't want anybody to think that a woman killed him. What would that make him if a woman killed him? What do you think? How would he go down in history if a woman was the one who killed him? He wouldn't be much of a warrior, would he? Now, here's how the Lord did this thing. The Lord gave us all the details to know what this guy's really like. And when I read verse 54, I think to myself, what a coward. And he has to have one of his fellows kill him instead. So, anyway, a whole lot we could say about that. But verse 55, and when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. So, that tower is actually not a tower of despair. That tower ended up being an advantage because the woman throwing the millstone down there. And by the way, real quick, you know how Wednesday night we studied a little bit on typology in your Bible? You want to pay real close attention to something. What is it that initially greatly wounded Abimelech? What kind of injury did he suffer? A head wound. What do you know about head wounds in your Bible? Genesis 3:15? The serpent, what's he going to suffer one day? A head wound. Genesis 3:15, it says, talks about the heel being bruised, and it talks about the head as well. Talk about the serpent. So one day he will meet his match. And I think you have a picture of what's to come here with the devil, with that woman throwing that millstone down. Could be, a total guess here, hadn't really thought about this a whole lot, but that woman could be a, what do you think she might be a type of? The woman? What do you think? Maybe a type of the church, maybe a type of Israel. Could be both. Think about it like this. Do you and I fight the devil today? Now, we can't defeat him finally, but we can ward him off, right? And you ward him off just like she did with a stone. Do you have a stone? You have a rock, don't you? The Lord Jesus Christ. We touched on that a couple weeks back. So there could be some other typology there. I hadn't thought that through a whole lot, but there's got to be something there. So let's get to the last tower, the Tower of Deliverance. We already saw a tower can be a place of deliverance, just like this case here. And go over to Psalm 18. I'll just give you three verses here in closing on the Lord being the Tower of Deliverance. Psalm 18. Psalm chapter 18. You'll see similar wording to what we saw in 2 Samuel 22. Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I hope you can say that the Lord is the one who gives you strength. Verse 2, the Lord is, hey, there it is, Brother Mark. The Lord is my what? My rock. You can't defeat the devil with your own power. You need the rock. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. It's a common theme in the Scripture. The Lord being a high tower, the highest of towers. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So regardless, men think when they build a big tower, that shows how great they are. The Lord says, I am the strongest tower, and that's how great the Lord is. He's the greatest. So Psalm 18, you see the Lord, my high tower. Go to Psalm 61, show you another one here. Psalm 61, you'll see similar wording to what we've already seen. So you know by now, in studying your Bible, when the Lord repeats Himself and says the same thing 3, 4, 5 times, He's trying to get a point across, isn't He? So you need to pay close attention to that. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Now, that's a really interesting statement. You ever had an overwhelmed heart? It's a great place to resort to here, Psalm 61, next time you feel overwhelmed. He says here, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What place is that? Verse 3, for Thou hast been a shelter for me, and what else? A strong tower from the enemy. So when the tower is associated with the Lord, there is no safer place. There is no better place to be. It's the greatest place of refuge you could ever resort to. The Lord, the strong tower. How about two more? I said there was three, but I actually have four. So here's number three, and then I got one in Proverbs. Go to Psalm 144. The Lord says this several times here in the book of Proverbs. So again, trying to get the point across. Psalm 144. Rather than being so impressed with the towers that men build, be impressed with the Lord and the power and the strength that He has and the refuge He offers all who will resort to Him for safety. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Now watch all the words that start off with my. My goodness. You got any goodness of your own? Any goodness that you have is because of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you have His righteousness, you have His goodness. You ever hear people use that word? I'm guilty of saying this. I'll say, and I got this from my dad over the years, so I'll put the blame on him, but you get frustrated, you say, good night! Kids at school kind of make fun of me for saying that because only old people say that, or older people say that. I say, good night! So my buddy Tony, who's younger than me, will always say to me, hey, what's so good about the night? It's a time of darkness, Rockwell. What's so good about the night? And then I'll say something like this. Maybe you've done the same. You get frustrated and you say, my goodness. You ever say that? And Tony's really good about this. Every time I say it around him, he'll say, hey, who's your goodness? Oh, yeah, I don't have any goodness. Thank you. He always reminds me of these things when I'm around him. So, my goodness. If you have any goodness, it's because of God. My goodness and my fortress. What's the next one? My high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and He in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Interesting. There's a whole lot of good stuff there. How about one more? Go to Proverbs 18, last one of the night. Proverbs 18. I tell you what, since it's not 8 o'clock yet, I might throw one more in here. We'll see. We'll see how this one goes. Proverbs 18. Go down there to verse 10. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. I'm going to mark this verse. It's a good one. The name of the Lord is a what? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now watch this part. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now, I want you to think about that. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now, we've got just a minute here, so I want to chase this real quick. Go over to Isaiah. To contrast here to end, the Lord being the tower of deliverance. I don't know if I gave you that. You got the tower of desire, the tower of despair. You want to stay away from those. And then you got the Lord, the tower of deliverance. Go over to Isaiah and chapter 30. And I know several weeks back, I think it was back in September, I was over here. We talked about this. But I tell you, what an interesting verse in your Bible. Isaiah 30, when you get to Isaiah, this portion of Isaiah, there's a lot of tribulation and second coming stuff. And that's the context here when you get down to verse 25. Look at verse 25. 26 will actually tell you a little more on this context being tribulation, second coming of the Lord. But a really interesting little phrase shows up in verse 25. I'm in Isaiah 30, verse 25. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great what? The great slaughter. Watch it. When the towers fall. Isn't that wild? Now, folks, this was written, I got 721 B.C., probably the time that Isaiah spoke it, so written down somewhere after that or around that time. That's a long time before September 11, 2001, isn't it? What happened on that day? What did the whole world watch on September 11, 2001? We watched the towers fall. The Twin Towers, yeah. And I'm not saying that that was a fulfillment of this verse. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is, to the Lord, it's not unusual for something like that to happen. And this being tribulation, second coming context, it's going to happen again. Verse 26, you get an idea of this being the context I mentioned. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. That's when he comes back the second time. So, interesting how it mentions the towers falling there. Now, to end here, what did Proverbs 18 say? It said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Then it goes on to say, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Those people who were in the Twin Towers on September 11, 2001, what did you see on TV? What did you see them doing once the planes hit? Running out of the tower. You know why? It was no longer a safe place. But the Lord, being the strongest tower, what does He want me and you to do? Run to Him. So I think it's interesting that the Lord, of all things, I think this is so relevant to our modern day, of all things to compare the Lord to, He's compared to a tower. A high tower, a place of safety, when the world sees towers and they are in awe. And ultimately, you have to be in awe of what man built. But you know, as a result of what we saw many years ago here in our own country, there's no place of safety in a tower built by men. But there is a place of safety when you resort to the tower that is the Lord, the name of the Lord. Amen? So, interesting thing there. There's 60 verses in the Bible that mention tower or towers. Only four of them are in the New Testament. And you take a look at those are the accounts of, one of them is over in Matthew 21, says a man digged a wine press, built a tower. Mark 12, same thing. Luke 13, it mentions, how about this one? Luke 18, it says, those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. So this thing about towers falling is just nothing new. It's all throughout history. So, tower built by men may or may not be safe. I wouldn't take my chances. If I had the choice, I would choose not to work in a building that has many floors and I'm high up. I would want to be much lower or even on the ground level because you never know what can happen. But hey, isn't it a great thing to know that the Lord is a dependable tower that you can resort to 100% of the time? Amen? He is the tower of safety. He wants you to run to that tower of safety and stay there because there's no safer place. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just a little insight into towers and insight into just you being the greatest of refuges and strength. Lord, help us be mindful of how the world's got things so backwards in thinking that they are great with all the things they build. and how what you do and resorting to you and trusting only in you and not in ourselves is the only way to go, the only way to be safe. And I just pray that we would be mindful of this in the days ahead. Lord, encourage us as we live in this crazy, mixed up, dark world. May we not be discouraged by the place we live, but be encouraged to just be the light and be the witness that you want us to be. We pray for your hand of safety and protection on us tonight through the rest of this week. I pray for some good testimonies on Sunday of what you've been doing in our lives. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.